In the name of Jesus, let's pray. Father of mercy and grace, you gather us around your word and you gather us around your sacraments. And it is through that word that the Holy Spirit works to bring faith. And I feel so inadequate to be the guy that is proclaiming the word today, to provide that vehicle for the Spirit to work. So bless the words that you have given me to speak this day, that they be your words, that they glorify you and honor you, and use them, Father, to assure your holy people here gathered that you love them, that you bless them, and that you've done everything already for them to have a home in heaven with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I have to begin with a little bit of a preaching confession this morning. And it goes something like this because it's kind of true. So when I prepare for a sermon, I come at it from slightly different perspectives each time. So there are things that I have studied in theology and scripture that I know pretty well because I've really spent a lot of time engaging them and studying them and researching them. And sometimes when the themes of the day align with those things that I've studied, I kind of come at the preaching thing as a teaching opportunity to show a little bit of the stuff that maybe you haven't heard about and to share that with you. There are times when it's important to look at what the congregation is going through and talk about where the congregation is as the themes of the day align with the needs of the church as well. There are times when you come up to the pulpit to preach and it's a natural. It's Easter Sunday morning, or it's Good Friday, or it's Christmas Day. And the theme is defined for you, and you don't need to do a whole lot except speak the truth in love, right? But then there are days like today when the theme is so real for each and every single one of us, and for me, that I have to come at this theme today from a different place altogether. It's from a place of brokenness, a place where I'm having trouble living out what the gospel and Jesus' teaching requires of me. You see, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, and I want you to listen for this when we pray the Lord's Prayer at communion today, we ask God to do some things that I'm not sure that if we're in our right minds, we really want to ask Him. The fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer says this: forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The way that we forgive God is the way that I'm asking you to forgive me. When I hear those words in the Lord's Prayer and I pray them, it kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies a little bit because I take seriously what we say to the Lord to do. The gospel lesson today says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless the one who curses you, pray for those who abuse you. And I feel guilty because I come at this in my inability to actually live in that way. So I come at this message today from that place of brokenness. And really in my head and in my heart, I begin to talk to God. And I ask things like this: are you serious, Lord? Are you serious? Do you really want me to just ignore how fill in the blank with your name has treated me? Lord, you know what I'm facing. I've tried multiple times to fix things with this person, but each time I was lied to, I was betrayed. Promises were made to me and then broken. I tried to be kind and forgiving, but I was stabbed in the back. How can I continue to forgive and how can I continue to love when I've tried again and again and again to fix things? How can I bless and pray for this person that has abused my confidence and has abused my trust again and again? But there it is in today's gospel lesson. If you read it with me, the very, very first part of it, the first paragraph in our gospel lesson today has eight imperatives, eight things that God tells us to do. And they're not easy things. Here are the eight. Number one, love your enemies. Number two, do good to those who hate you. Number three, bless those who curse you. Number four, pray for those who abuse you. Number five, if someone hits you on one side of the face, give him the other side of the face to hit as well. Number six, to the one who takes your coat, give him your shirt. Give him your shirt. Number seven, give to everyone who begs. Number eight, from the one who steals, Let him keep it. And it's hard. And it's hard. It's hard to even think about living this way, isn't it? It goes completely against our nature. It goes completely against our culture. It goes completely against everything that we've learned. Because, you know, our thing is, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer so that you know what they're about, right? If someone hates you for no reason, give that jerk a reason to really hate you. If someone curses you, smack them in the mouth. If someone abuses you, take them to court. Those beggars on the street corner, man, they are probably pros making more money at begging than I do at working. If someone steals from you, report them, get them jailed. Isn't that the culture of today? Isn't that what we learn from the world? Isn't that what we're kind of conditioned by our environment to do? But Jesus' teaching is a radical departure from what this world teaches. Jesus calls us to be different, to act different, to love different than the world. Verse 31 of our gospel reading that we did together today kind of summarizes that very first section as Jesus says it this way, what we've kind of learned as the golden rule, and as you wish others do to you, do so to them. It's a departure, a complete departure from what we see daily. It's a call to be distinctly different from the world. It's the golden rule. It's a call to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's a call to forgive our debtors as we want to be forgiven. It's a call to stand out and shine. Paul says it in this beautiful, amazing way in Philippians. Listen to the word of Philippians and see if the reason for Jesus' call to this enormously high standard doesn't become clearer to us. He says in Philippians chapter 2, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Our call is to shine in a world that is so very, very different from what Jesus calls us to be. And then the next section of the gospel lesson for today describes why living as Christians marks us as those led by the Holy Spirit. Here Jesus teaches things like this. Do things without expecting to be paid back. Just give. Love with an agape love. And agape love is that love that is altruistic, that expects nothing in return, it just cares about the person that's being loved. Love without expecting anything in return. And then Jesus poses some questions that are really, really, really tough for us to answer. He says things like this. How will you be different from the world if you love just the folks that love you? Anybody can do that. Go out to the place where they're cutting heads off in this part of the world, and they'll love their families. How are you different if that's the only thing that you do? If you do good to just those who do good to you, says Jesus, everybody does that. You're just like everybody else if you do that. And if you give money expecting to be repaid, how does that make you different from Chase Bank or Bank of America, right? Not a whole lot. No. Jesus says you're a child of God and we are called to be different. The standard is higher, it's bigger, and it's harder for us to keep. Love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return. And then Jesus adds a blessing to it. He says, and your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Or, like I told the children today, God demonstrates his love for us in this. When we were good is when he loved us? No. While we were still what? Sinners. God demonstrates his love for us in this by sending Jesus, right? And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to live in the way that Jesus called us to live. Because you see, I'm not talking theory here. This is real. I've been betrayed. I've been lied to, I've been stabbed in the back, and it's hard to forgive debts the way God has forgiven me and Jesus. It's hard to love the way that God has loved me, isn't it? How about you? Do you have any issues with that? As you heard the words of Jesus in the gospel lesson? Did it give you this anxiety in your own heart? Whom are you having a hard time forgiving? Is there a person in your life that makes living your call to be like Jesus hard or maybe even impossible? When you see that person, do those feelings of hurt and pain just come up and well up inside your chest? And then you feel guilty, huh? I know I do. Because the Holy Spirit inside of me reminds me, the Spirit reminds me that even for that person that I'm having a difficult time forgiving and loving and caring about, even for that person, Jesus shed his blood. Jesus shed his blood for them. And not only that, but Jesus set the example. He was betrayed. He was beaten. He was crowned with thorns. He was whipped. His clothes were stolen from him. He was nailed to a cross. He was pierced with a spear. And in the end, what did he do? He prayed for those who heard him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, Jesus did throughout his life everything that he tells us to do in this gospel text, living it out perfectly, fulfilling everything that the law requires for us in our place. Because he knows of my weakness in this area. He knows of my brokenness in this area. And he understands yours as well. God offers us through Jesus that perfect fulfillment of every single thing that Jesus taught. But there's more. There's more. Listen to what Paul says in his letter to the Galatian people. I have been crucified with Christ. Me. I have been crucified with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And if the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. It's Jesus that lives through us and gives us that ability to love even the folks that hurt us, even the folks that we have a hard time with. Our capacity to live the calling, that high standard that Jesus places on us, comes from Christ himself. So we can love when loving is hard. We can give and expect nothing. We can pray for those who abuse us. We can be good to those who hate us. And we can bless those who hurt us because of Jesus. In his name, amen. Let's pray. Lord, you've called us to a high standard, a standard that I confess that I myself find impossible to live in my own strength. But we do pray, Father, that through your Spirit and through Jesus living in and through us, that we may be able to shine like stars in the universe by being different from the world around us and caring even for those that hate us. In the name of Jesus, amen.